is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Number 379, We Have an Anchor. Let's stand as we sing.
Thank you. 385. We'll
stand as we sing, He Hideth My Soul, number 385.
Yeah.
Pastor Fury, whatever he had. So Pastor Fury is very sick this morning. So do be in prayer for him. We do have some birthdays to mention. On Monday, we have Brianne Witham, one of the kids that come from Master Club. Tuesday, November 3rd, we have Doreen Roche. And on Wednesday is Caitlin Foreman, and on Thursday is Pastor McPherson. So do congratulate them. And we have one anniversary, Ray and Bonnie Austin, 49 years, on November the 4th. It's good to have Kevin and Kristen back from their honeymoon as well. 1 week. You made it. Good job. Kevin, you pray for the offering, please. Before we dismiss the boys and girls, I'd like Josh Stride to come join me, if you would, please. Pastor was going to do a presentation today, but he's sick, so he's asked me. Josh is leaving for the military on Saturday. Is that correct? Yeah. So he'll be serving in our armed forces in the infantry. And so as a church, we need to be praying for him and supporting him and his family as well. And Pastor wanted to present you with a Bible from the church and just enforce the importance that we have there. We will also pray for you, and I'll get Mr. Norris, one of our other team leaders, to stand and pray for you, if you could.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and for your house, Lord, that you have hand upon God. The troubles that he had, Lord, let him ask you to be a blessing to his life, Lord, and let him keep you close to his heart through this next time that he's away, Lord. baptize you and keep them safe. Let it be a blessing to us, therefore, in the precious name.
Thank you. All right. And the children will be dismissed during the next hymn. As the children make their way to their services, let's stand as we sing number 380.
Service is never the result of Christ is the source of all life, and all he demands as we keep his commands is to faithfully cling to the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me, fruit will abound, abundant in measure. Come, children, take.
Cindy, for that song, the gospel. My heart has been moved tremendously already. My goodness, my tears are almost running down the singing, and just wonderful to be here this morning in God's house and serving Him. What a great God we serve. You know, yesterday I was quite busy in Rochester. I had to help David move, and we were there till 9 o'clock before we got everything put into his place. And so it was 3.5 hour drive back, and I got home about 12:30. So I was thankful for the time change. That one extra hour really helped me so I could get some rest. Well, I got a text in the morning from Pastor saying that he was sick and that he was throwing up, and that he had a tremendous migraine headache, and would you preach for me this morning? I sent him a text back, and I said, absolutely. There's only one stipulation. They had an accident last night also, and they ran over a deer and nearly destroyed their van. They're okay, but the deer was picked up. He phoned Jim Wood, and I said, this is a stipulation. I'll preach as long as you give me some of that roadkill. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't do that. On the lighter side, I went into a barber shop last week to get my hair cut, and there was a guy there from the area, and he went to Australia, and he was in customs. And he says, I went into customs, and the guy said to me, he said, do you have a criminal record? He says, oh, he says, I didn't know you needed one to get in. He said, that didn't go too well for him. He said he was there for hours. I said, I know what that's like. I see that on TV, Australia. They're really tough on letting people in. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. I want to speak to you this morning about humility. Verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one. And you know, he's allowed to do that, to be the high and lofty one. And he can say that about himself because he is the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. I know our preacher pretty good. I've worked with him for 8 months now. And I'll bet you he's praying for this service, because my heart is just overwhelmed with God. And he loves this church so much. Our pastor does. And you think it was a coincidence that the pastor ran into Justin Trudeau at the airport some year ago? God knew that Mr. Trudeau was going to be our prime minister. And Pastor was right there with him, right in line with him. We need to pray for him. We don't believe in a lot of things that he stands for, but we need to pray for our prime minister, that God will work in his heart. Meek and holy, that's what the Lord is. Humble means blessed or blessed, lowly, unpretentious, to lower in pride, to meek, the meek and lowly. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to be doing some scripture turning this morning to quite a few passages. Matthew chapter 11 and beginning in verse 28. You know these passages. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. When we need Jesus, he is there for us, and he cares for us. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness. I pray, Lord, that you would bless me this morning. Be with our preacher, Lord, as he recovers from this sickness. And, Lord, we're thankful that they weren't injured in that accident last night with that deer. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless these dear people here this morning, that we would be drawn closer to you as a result of your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Unpretentious is what humility is. And when I think of unpretentious, God always seems to put Daniel into my mind, because Daniel was unpretentious. He could have flaunted all that he had, being brought up and put into second in charge with Babylon with all the wise men and everything. But he wasn't. And he prayed and he asked God. And when they tempted him, he was thrown in the lion's den at the age of 89 or 90. And just unpretentious, humble servant of God. And that's what we need to pattern our life by. There's many people that were humbled and blessed by God. Hezekiah was one that, when the prophet came to him and said, set your house in order, you're going to die, Hezekiah wept and turned his heart to the Lord. And the Lord called the prophet back and said, go and tell Hezekiah that he's going to have 15 years added to his life, because I see his tears and I know his heart, that he has humbled himself before me. And Joseph was a man that humbled himself before the Lord and was put in jail and waited all that time, fled from an evil woman, and God lifted him up and put him second in charge with Pharaoh. And how about Jacob? Was Jacob not a humble man when he prayed to God and wrestled with God all night, and he was entreated by God, and God said, I'm going to change your name, Jacob, to Israel, because you have humbled yourself before me and you have wept. You have found great favor in God's sight. And how about Abraham, that took his own son and took that knife and was going to run that knife right down into his own son? Was he not a humble man? Never asked God why or complained. He loved God. He was a humble man. And Job, could we say not so many things about Job? I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that God liveth. After all the suffering that he went, was not he a humble man that humbled himself before God at the end of Job in sackcloth and ashes before God? After all that he suffered, he still humbled himself before God. And how about the Apostle Paul, beaten and put in prison and sang praises unto God and rejoiced, and the people in the jail heard it and the jailers heard it. Two places the Lord dwells in, the eternal one, the self-existent one, the one whose habitation is eternal, whose name is holy. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 27, you don't have to turn there, the heaven and heaven of heavens, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I don't care how much terrorism comes into this world, God is on the throne. And he cares for his own. And if we have our have to suffer for Jesus, praise God that we can suffer for him. Because one day he will put his arms around us and hold us and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll see his face to face. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. This is who said, I am that I am. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 8, is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. And God wants to be your God. And He wants you to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, all that you have, that you might love Him. And we fall short of that every day. We break His first commandment, that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. We fall short of that every day. And then all the law hangs on those commandments. If we love our brethren, we're not going to want to kill them. If we love them, we're not going to want to hate them. If we love them, we're not going to want to take what they have. We're not going to covet what they have. If we love God, if we love them, it all starts with the love of God. All these other commandments hang on that. And we fall. We are so short of that love. We break God's law every day. We need to turn to Him and ask for forgiveness for our sin. Not to have your salvation again, but to keep a close relationship with the Lord. The number one place is the high and holy place. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? There cannot be a higher place than the place where God is on His throne and His Son, Jesus Christ, with Him. There is not a higher place in the universe that you could go to than right there where God is and where His Son is, sitting at the right hand and making intercession for us, a saved sinner. A wretched old saved sinner like me. And He's making intercession for me, and He's making intercession for you. What a great God that we save, that we serve. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1. We're going to read you a few verses there. Revelation chapter 1, verse 10 to verse 18. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were as white as wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in the furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. You know, this is Jesus. Jesus was born as an infant. And he was more innocent than any infant, because he had never had the sin nature. He never had man's blood in him. He had his holy blood in him. And he never sinned till the day that he went to the cross, or after the cross, or for eternity. He has never sinned. He was as innocent as that little baby Jesus born in the manger when he died on the cross. He was just as innocent on that cross as that little infant, and died for our sin. And now we see him lifted up high and holy with the eyes like a flame of fire. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Don't fear man, because man can only destroy the body, but Jesus can destroy both soul and body in a place called hell for eternity, and lock that door and you'll never get out. It'll be darkness where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and you'll suffer there for eternity for your sin because you never turned to Jesus. The only sin that can never be forgiven is the sin against the Holy Ghost in the rejection of Jesus. And you will burn for eternity with your sin, remembering what you could have done, that you could have turned to the Lord. You will die a devil's hell for eternity unless you turn to him. Turn to Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, and you know what the next words are. What are they? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He is just as innocent here as when he was a baby. And he's just as holy as when he was a baby. And he's just as holy as when he walked on this earth. His holiness is eternal. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. My heart was moved. My heart was moved this morning with the singing, with the solos, and Lori and Tony, and the music that was sung this morning. My heart's been moved. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with his tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. And it's only through the grace of God that any man is saved, including Isaiah. He had to be saved just like any Job had to be saved just like anybody else. Daniel had to be saved just like anybody. There is nobody exempt from being saved through Jesus some other way. There is no other way. You can't work enough to get into heaven. You can't do enough good. How many good things do you need to do to get into heaven? What is the list? Where does the list end? Where does it start? There is no list, because it's only Jesus and his blood that'll save a soul and take him to heaven. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's impossible to get there any other way. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, you don't have to turn there. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. The eyes of Jesus will be upon all mankind's heart, the great white throne, and they'll want to flee away. There will be no place to hide. We have hiding places now from God. We can hide in our heart, we can hide sin from God, but he sees it. We can hide it from our fellow brothers and sisters, but God knows about it. And he knows where you are. He knows what you've done. And he loves you. And he wants you to come back to him if you're backslidden, if you're out of God's will. And if you're living for God, praise God. He still knows your heart. Your heart is desperately wicked every day. Keep turning to God. Take heed lest ye fall. Don't think that we're so big that we can't fall. Any one of us can fall. And we've seen so many men fall. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 11. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. There were many Jesus names at this time. There were many people that were called Jesus, but there's only one Jesus that can save from sin. It's Jesus the Savior, the Holy One, Christ the Holy One, the Anointed One, is what Christ means. He was anointed for a purpose, to come and to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his purpose. He didn't come to take and destroy the Roman government as the Jews wanted when he went in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem upon a donkey and they shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save now, save now, Lord." That was not his place. That was not his obedience. That was not for him to do. He came for the purpose to save us from our sin. Verse 10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And they will confess and they will remember their sin, those that refuse Christ, and they'll remember that Jesus tried to woo them, tried to bring them to himself, tried to show them the grace of God that appears to all men, that they might respond, that God could send somebody to them so that they could be saved, and they refused. And when they look in the face of Jesus, they'll see their own sin that they've done, and they'll bow before him, say, "Yes, Lord, you're right. And I'm wrong." Turn to Psalm chapter 47. Psalm chapter 47. We'll read a few verses there, beginning with verse 1. "O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our king. Sing praises, for God is the king of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the earth. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." Our king is greatly exalted. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. When you get up this morning and you go out on the street and you see the beautiful sunshine and the leaves falling down, heaven and earth is filled with his glory. We were out on the bus the other day with the seniors and we coming down Highway 6 and up on this beautiful hill, the sun was shining and there's the cattle there. And if you could stop and take a picture, it was so beautiful. Right, Gordy? And what's the scripture? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every heart. He said, "If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. If I was thirsty, I wouldn't tell you." David was a man after God's own heart. Three men broke through the Philistines and got him a drink of water from the Bethlehem well and brought it to King David because he desired a drink. King David took that water And he looked at that water and he poured it on the ground. And he said, if I drink that water, I'm drinking the blood of these men that suffered their, put their life in danger that I might have a drink of water. God says, if I was thirsty, I wouldn't tell you. He suffered for us that we might have eternal life. And what a teaching thing David did when he did that. He was teaching other men, don't do it. Don't go and do that again for me. Don't put your life in danger for me again like that. What a great man David was. He is greatly exalted. Acts chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. Verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. And when you read that, he dwelleth not in temples made with hands that we made. He dwells in the temple that he made. Us. He made us. And he dwells within us. The Holy One. The King of Kings. The Lord of Lords. This high and exalted one with those eyes of a flame of fire. He dwells with us. It's no wonder the road to Emmaus, those men said our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us the scriptures. Does our heart burn within us when we read the scriptures? When we have the comfort of the scriptures? When we have God's holy word to read daily? The number two place, or another place where God dwells, according to Isaiah 57 verse 15, is with him also that is of a contrite heart, contrite and a humble spirit. God is not impressed with all the worlds and all the power. They are but a drop in the bucket to him. But he dwells with the man of a contrite and a humble spirit. James 4 and verse 6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Oh, if I could only do that, like that person sang. Oh, if I could only preach like Pastor Fury preached. Oh, I would love to do that. Humble yourself before God. And God will lift you up and he'll give you the desires of your heart if they're true, if they're righteous. Turn to 1 Peter. We've got a couple more verses and we'll wind up. 1 Peter. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, the sufferings of the Holy One, the sufferings of the Anointed One, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, and not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. This is a difficult thing for me. I have to confess. To submit myself to others. Do you have that problem? Do you? I do. It's hard for me to submit to someone that's younger than me. Is that not difficult sometimes? But God says, please submit yourselves to each other. and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. And some of the Christians here that have been here for a long time, they know that verse. Because they clung on to this that verse when they had the difficulties here at Bethel Baptist Church with the finances. Jim Judge remembers all that when the interest went way up. And this church clanging onto that verse, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. I talked to Olive Britton the other night, and she says, sometimes I go to bed at night and I say, God, tighten up my armor a little bit. Tighten up my armor a little bit. Praise God. It's his armor, and he puts it on, and he will tighten it up. For us. He'll do our shoelaces up. He washed the apostles' feet. What a great God we serve. What a humble God we serve. Blessed are the feet that bring the gospel to people. How beautiful are the feet that bring the good news that Jesus saves to people. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that he suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. It's all of God. God wants the leaders to be humble. Examples to the flock, and the flock to be humble likewise to God and to each other, and the pastor also, or pastors, or leaders, or deacons. We are to submit ourselves to each other and submit ourselves to the flock, and the flock to the leaders. It's both ways. Submitting to God and to each other, working together for the cause of Christ, allowing suffering in your life, allowing yourself to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We've got a few minutes. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And just a couple of verses from verse 1 to verse 3. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live, and multiply, and go, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. To what? To humble thee. And to prove thee. To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, angel food, the taste of oil. They said, what is it? That's what manna means. What is it? It's manna, it's angel's food from the corn of heaven. That he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone only, but by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth of the Lord doth man live. We eat daily. We need to read God's word daily for our nourishment, that we might be well. That we might be well. The children of Israel were only trusting in what they had in their possession, not in the word of God, that he would take care of them, not what God had said. They were trusting in what they could see, and what they could touch, and what they could feel. God humbled them and proved them to see what was in their heart. What's in your heart today? I pray with some people, you know. And I'm not a judge. I don't know the heart. But sometimes you hear some wonderful prayer from people, and you know it comes right from the heart. I've had some of the most wonderful prayer where a man will say, I've just been saved for a while. And you say, I can't pray like you guys pray. You guys pray all this stuff, and I can't pray like that. And I sit down and pray what's in your heart. And he'd say a couple words, and his heart would break. I mean, that speaks to the heart of God. We don't have to have big, swelled up words and grammatically right all the time. I mean, it's good to do that if your heart's right. But just pray what's in your heart to the Lord. I love my wife. I've told you this before. My wife puts me to shame. She's not here, so she can't hear. She's working there with kindergarten. She's done that since we've been married, working with young. She just loves working with young children. But she puts me to shame with her prayer when we're going along in the car, and it's all from the heart. And she thinks about people, and she'll name you people that I didn't even think about, a need that you have in this congregation, and she's praying for you. And I'm just moved to tears. Oh, God, help me to pray like that. I love it when you hear the prayer from the heart. And Flo, she's got that kind of heart that when she prays. And a lot of you people do. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But you folks have the heart of God. They were only trusting in what they could see. God humbled them and proved them to see what was in their heart. Psalm chapter 34, and we'll be done. I hope. And you hope. Psalm chapter 34. And verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them all out of all troubles. We've had some real trying times here. The Judge family and Levi and Shelley and losing that little baby. I mean, that's a heartbreaking adventure, man. That is not adventure, but a disaster. But God knows all about it. He knows the heart. Pastor sent me an email yesterday. And he said, Paul, you might be encouraged by this. This lady in the States was given a pill for an abortion. It's a pill that will kill the baby. If you take the pill and then you take another pill 24 hours, it'll kill the baby. She was having second thoughts about it. And the doctor says, if you don't take that right now, that pill's going to dissolve and it's cost a lot of money. So she took that pill and she went home and her heart started breaking for her little baby that was in her stomach. She said, what am I going to do? My little baby's going to die. She went to the hospital and they said, it's too late. Even if you don't take that pill, that thing will be born deformed. Don't worry about it. It'll just be a bloody mess. And she got on, talked to some pro-life people. And they said, there's an antidote drug that's out on the market. Take that and try that. And I think about one in every three. And it works. And that lady's baby came and was born on the due date, a couple of days, and they had a picture there on the internet of this little baby and the mother holding her little baby with a smile on her face. Boy, we have some hard breaks, don't we? Some people are suffering in this church. There's been some real suffering going on in this church. I could go just person to person. You folks have suffered for God. The Lord is nigh unto them that are a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Out of them all. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. Help us to humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us to
stay close to you and to confess sin and to be right with you, to have a heart of Jesus, the heart that David had. A man after God's own heart. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Will we just stand to your feet? We're going to have an invitation time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You say, Brother McPherson, Pastor McPherson, I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know Jesus. I'd like to have my sin forgiven. I'd like to have a home in heaven. No one's going to embarrass you. You can come down here to the front. We'll take a man with a man, a woman with a woman, and show you how you can be saved, how you can have a home in heaven. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody looking around. This is a serious time, girls. This is nothing to laugh about. You say, Brother McPherson, I need to be saved. I need to have my sins forgiven. Would you hold up your hand and say, please pray for me that my sins might be forgiven? Anybody? Anybody? It's hard to see sometimes up here with the light. If you could hold your hand up high so that I could see it. I need to have my sins forgiven. I see those hands. Maybe you're here and you'd like just to humble yourself before the Lord. I'm not saying that you have to come down. That's between you and God. If you want to come down and pray at the altar, that's fine. You want to humble yourself where you're standing before God. Maybe you have already done that. Maybe you are already humble before God. We're going to have that time of invitation. Would you come and pray while Tony sings?
Like Jesus, by His presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine! All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Than life to me, and the fairest of 10,000s in my blessed Lord I see.
Thank you. You can look up and have a seat just for a minute. Brother Baker is going to come with some announcements.
We do have a bulletin. We do have our inserts inside for the banquet. Not very many of these have been turned in. So if you are able to figure out the plans for that, and if you're able to attend, just fill that out. And you can leave them on the Welcome Center this morning or tonight in the offering plate. And that just helps us know how many tables to have set out and how much food to prepare and all of that. So if you can let us know, that's for the anniversary banquet, Saturday evening, November the 7th. We are having that's this coming Saturday. We are having Pastor Gordon Connor come in from out in Vancouver, out in BC there. He'll be our special speaker, as well as the Calvary Quartet. And they'll be here the Saturday night and the Sunday. We are planning a special Remembrance Day service on November the 8th, leading up to the Remembrance Day on November the 11th. For our teens, we have a teen visitation breakfast and a sports day. It's a full day event. November the 14th starts right at 9:30, eating breakfast together. And then we're also inviting the church. There's going to be a Nets visitation and prayer time. And that's going to be partnering up with our teens, Faithway Baptist Church. Their youth group's going to be coming down as well. And so we're doing the teen breakfast, a preaching time, and then we're actually going to be going out and doing some doors with invitations for the cantata and master clubs and the church tracks as well. So we've opened it up to the church family as well. It's an awesome opportunity to do your Nets. The maps that you have for that. I also need some drivers. So we have about 35 to 40 teens coming from Faithway, as well as our own teens. And so we'll need some adult drivers that can take groups to different locations, some to Dover, some to Delhi, et cetera. So if you are able to meet us for that, we're going to be doing that at 10:30, Saturday morning, November the 14th. Also for the teens, we have a shopping trip on November the 20th. The details are listed there. And then a bridal shower for Ms. Fett on November the 20th. Seventh. We'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed. God, we thank you so much for your love for us. God, I thank you for the reminder of your humility and how you call us to be humble as well. God, I pray that you'd challenge us, work in our hearts. Be with Pastor Fury, help him to be feeling better quickly. I just pray that you'd heal his body in your name. Amen.